Verse number, we'll begin reading in verse 18. We'll read down through verse number 25 this morning. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while they thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus." Thank you. May be seated. How many know who Lauren Scruggs is? You probably know who she is. You just don't recognize the name. Lauren Scruggs was a young lady, a blonde-headed, a beautiful young lady who was a model with a promising career. And this week, probably every day of this week, she's been on the news because she had a desire to go up in an airplane up over the town where that they were, and she wanted to see what the Christmas lights looked like from above. And they went up in that plane, and as they came down and they parked the plane, landed the plane, she got out of the plane and somehow or another got turned around, not knowing, I guess, what she was doing. And she turned around and walked right into the propeller of that plane. And when she did, it cut one of her hands off. It sliced part of her face off, broke her shoulder, just a bunch of things. And I mean, what started out as something she wanted to do, a Christmas dream to go up and see the Christmas lights, and what they looked like from up above, before that was over with, and just a matter of time, her Christmas dream had turned into a nightmare. Can I tell you, sometimes that's the way life is. When we think about this story of Joseph today, and we think about Joseph and Mary, we often read through the story, maybe see a Christmas play, maybe hear some songs sung about it, but sometimes we don't really settle down and just read and think about what actually happened and how that they might have felt. Sometimes we read the Bible and we can read it and we can read some things that are happening, but we don't really think about how it might really have been for that individual in that particular time. Now, when we read this morning about Joseph and the story of Joseph, we realize that him and Mary had been espoused. They were going to be married. No doubt they had planned this and looked forward to this. And it was getting closer and closer to the time that they were going to be married. Both of them, I'm sure, had dreamed of the day when they would both be married. They were already espoused, and in the Bible days, it's kind of like what we call an engagement. But it was much more binding than our engagement. In many ways, the espousal in Bible days was almost as binding as the marriage itself. And so as this day drew near when they would marry, this day that they had dreamed about, thought about for a long time, just about the time that that's about to happen, one day Mary comes, I guess, to Joseph and she comes to him and she tells him, "Joseph, I'm going to have a child." Now, I want you to know that would be devastating in our day for somebody that had been engaged a long time. And then the fiancé comes to the man and says, "Well, I know we're going to be married, but I just, I need to tell you something. I'm expecting a child. Now we know that Mary was a virgin. The Bible tells us that. And we know that Joseph was a good man. The Bible tells us that. The moral climate in that day was a lot different than it is today. In that day, it wouldn't have been unusual for any young lady to be a virgin, because the moral climate of that day was much different than it is in our day. Today, oftentimes, it's an everyday occurrence that we read about people that are getting married, but before they get married, they find out that they're already with child. That's not unusual in our day. Our society has sunk so low morally, we don't even think anything about it. We no longer even acknowledge it as not being right. We no longer even acknowledge it as being wrong. But to understand the Scripture, we must realize that in Bible days, it was not so. And might I say, in our day, it ought not to be so. But here was Joseph and Mary, all of their dreams of going to get married. And here comes Mary to Joseph one day, and she says, "Joseph, I've got something to tell you. I am going to have a child." And Joseph knew it wasn't his. That must have been devastating to him. That dream of marriage must have turned into a nightmare in just a few moments of time. Can I tell you that oftentimes our Christmas dreams are like that? Oftentimes our dreams of things that we look forward to, we planned on for a long time. In a moment's time, we get some news, we find out something, and everything changes. Can anybody identify? You see, whenever Christmas dreams, whenever they become a nightmare, there is often a shocking declaration. There is news that's found out that changes the scope of everything. I want us to understand the timing of this announcement that Mary said, "Joseph, I'm going to have a child." Again, it's right before that they are to be married. They're already espoused to one another. And we read here that this was devastating to Joseph. Not only was it devastating, but they had all these expectations in their mind of how things were going to be. Joseph was looking forward to marrying this young lady, Mary. He was looking forward to all of this. No doubt their love for each other was great. But then the Bible said before they ever came together that she was found to be with child. It was an embarrassing situation for Joseph. It was an embarrassing situation, I'm sure, for Mary in some ways. But we look at this morning and we think about Joseph here. He's just got this news. Again, please remember that times are different then than they are now. You see, in Bible times, young ladies would keep themselves until marriage. Young men would keep themselves until marriage. Not to say that some don't today. But I'll tell you, a lot of people, when you go to talking along these lines, people will say, "Well, you know, preacher, that's just the way everybody is." No, not everybody. I would say that probably the majority, that would be true, but not everybody. There is young ladies that have high moral values, and because of their Christian faith and their Christian belief, that they commit to keep themselves for just that right person. And there is young men that keep themselves for that one person. I know far beyond what we're thinking, but that's the way God intended it to be. Amen. That's the way God intended it to be. And so when this happened in Joseph's day, I tell you, it was devastating to him. I'm telling you, it was an embarrassment to him. When he first got the news, he didn't know what was going on. Can I tell you that? Just think about it. Mary comes to Joseph and she says, "Joseph, I'm going to have a child." He said, "What?" She said, "I'm going to have a child." And he says, "Well, I know that it's not my child. Whose child is it?" And she says it's God's child. I mean, if they'd been in our day, we'd said, right. Right, now tell me the truth. Whose child is it? You see how we think about things and we don't stop to think about how it would be when she told Joseph, this child is of God. This is God's child. I mean, until the Lord spoke to him, he did not have a clue about all these things that Mary was telling him. Oftentimes in life, that's the way it is. You see, we go along in life and everything's going good. We got our dreams, whatever they might be. Some are dreaming of retirement. I know some people that dreamed of retirement and then they got some news and suddenly everything was changed. I know some people that dreamed of having a child and they go to the doctor and they find out there's problems and the child's not going to live and everything changes. You see, life can be like that. What we think, what we dream of, what we hope of can suddenly change in a matter of time. That's what happened to Joseph. All of his plans had changed. Now, can I tell you, whenever this takes place, it's usually because we get news that we never had before. My good friend Johnny Campbell went to the doctor on Monday of this week, and many of you know this because of emails or Wednesday night. But on Monday, he called me, or I'd seen where he'd called several times, and then I called him on Monday night, and he'd been to the doctor, and he found out that he has kidney cancer. Don't know the extent of it yet, but it doesn't look good at this point. But I'm sure in that moment of time, everything changed when he got that news. Amen. There's people here today, Brother Mike Gibson, going along at working at Donnelly's, and his life pretty much the same. And one day he got a little pain in his back and began to check it out and found out that he had cancer. I'm sure that his life changed. I know it did. It changed for a while. But thank God, God brought him through. Thank God that the Lord has let him stay here. Amen. I sang about his prayer and I knew what he was thinking. There were times he couldn't be here. And there was about probably several months he couldn't come to church at all because he was more or less quarantined there at home. But you see, the point I'm trying to make is we can get some news that will change everything. Amen. It might be news that a marriage partner's leaving. It might be news of unfaithfulness. I mean, we could go on and on with the list of things that devastate and change our life. But one thing we need to remember here is that Joseph was a believer. Joseph had faith. Joseph was one that knew the Lord. And you see, the thing we often forget about is when things happen in our life, they don't just happen. You see, we have a God that watches over us. The Bible said the steps of good men are ordered by the Lord. He said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He said, the Lord will hold him up. Amen. You see, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. But the next verse says, and all things are of the Lord. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according unto His purpose. What looked like a nightmare, what looked like it was going to be a devastating thing, turned out to be the greatest blessing that could ever happen in the life of Joseph. Amen. You see, sometimes what happens in our life and we think it's a nightmare, when God gets done with it, it turns out to be even better than the thing we dreamed of. Don't forget, God is in our life. But whenever this kind of a thing happens, it calls upon us to search our hearts. Being human beings, the first thing that comes to our mind is, why is this happening to me? I remember I remember Brother Mike Overfelt sitting in my office. He'd found out he had esophagus cancer. And I remember him telling me about all that that was going to involve and all that he was going to have to go through. And he sat there and he kind of choked up a minute and he said, Brother Rick, he said, I asked God, why me? And then he began to cry and he said, Brother Rick, he said, I felt bad about that. But he said, before I even got those words out, he said, I said, God, why not me? I'm not any better than anybody else. Lord, it's only by your grace that I don't have a lot more things happen than what happens in my life. And so the point I'm trying to make is that whenever something happens in our life, we begin to search our hearts and have we done something wrong? Why is this happening to me? That's just human nature. That's just the way that we do it. I'm sure that Joseph fought before he got the full revelation. I'm sure that Joseph thought, why did this have to happen to me? Why do I have to be embarrassed this way? Why did this ever have to happen to me? But you see, God has a plan. God has a plan. Look at verse 19. The Bible said, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. You see, he's searching his heart now. What am I going to do? Whenever things happen in our life, we say, Lord, why did this happen to me? Our next thought is, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? How can I make it, Lord? What am I going to do? You see, we begin an inward search. And can I tell you that whenever our dreams become nightmares, we begin to examine ourselves and look into ourselves. But I want to tell you something. We are not really who we are when everything's going good. Who we are is revealed when all of our dreams fail. That really reveals who we are. You cannot tell how good gold is until you put it in the fire. You see. You cannot tell. That's why the Bible says the trying of your faith is more precious than gold, though it perish when tried in the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at His appearing. The Bible said, Peter said, think it not strange concerning all the fiery trials. You see, they're fiery trials. They're the trials like gold. They're fiery trials. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are for what? They are to try you. To see what kind of a person we really are. I mean, listen, if I don't have real faith, I want to know about it, don't you? I mean, hell's too hot. Eternity's too long. I tell you, if I don't have real faith, if I'm not really saved, I want to know about it. It's those fires, those trials that reveal what's down in us. You see, what did we find out about Joseph? Well, verse 19 at the beginning there said he was a just man. That meant ceremonially speaking. He kept the law. He did everything just like he was supposed to. He was a just man. Now, whenever you read that in the Bible, don't think that means that he wasn't a sinner. Because the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible said there's not a just man in all the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Wherefore by one man death passed upon men because all men have sinned and all men die. It's appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment. And so Joseph was a sinner just like you and me, but he was a just man and he kept all the law and done everything he was supposed to do as good as he could do it. He was a just man. Can I tell you, we read this and we see his character was that he had some character about him. Amen. I mean, I don't believe the Lord would have just selected anybody to surrogate his son. I think he wanted a good man. He wanted a just man. He wanted a man with some character. And I want to tell you that if a man doesn't have any character about him, God's not going to use him very much. And one of the things that's lacking in our day and as men of God is that sometimes our character is not what it ought to be. But Joseph had some character about him, and not only that, he was a compassionate man. Now I want you to think about this too. Before that God ever told him what was really going on, he let him search all of his mind and try to figure it out himself. Can I tell you that sometimes we try to figure out what God's will is and we jump ahead and get ahead of God, and about the time we think we got God's will figured out, then God comes along and said, here's what I really wanted. We've been studying in Galatians about Paul over there and about how he was an apostle to the Gentiles and how that the disciples gathered in an upper room for 10 days and the Lord gave them strict orders, do not do anything until the Holy Ghost comes. But you know how we are. They got anxious, and Peter was always rambunctious. And you know, after praying a while, you only pray so much, and I guess they got bored, and Peter said, you know what, Judas is gone, we need to make another apostle. And so he said, let's take these two, we'll cast lots and see which one it is. Well, the Lord had already told him, don't you do anything until the Holy Ghost comes. Well, what are they doing? They're out there trying to do something before he comes. They're trying to pick who the other apostle's going to be. But their pick was not God's pick. You say, how do you know? Because he's never mentioned anymore. After the Acts 1, he's never mentioned anymore. And later on, God says Paul makes him an apostle to the Gentiles. I believe the one to take the place of Judas. The point I'm making is that men's plans sometimes are not God's plans. You say he let him search everything, and then he said, here's what my will really is. Amen. He's a man of compassion. I mean, you think about what most men would have done if their woman they're engaged to come to them and said, I'm going to have a baby. Whose baby is it? God's. Yeah, right. You get out of here. And I don't want to never see you again. You're unfaithful. I'm going to tell everybody what kind of a person you are. But you see, Joseph, this is all before he knew anything. Joseph, being a just man, even though he thought he had been done wrong, he did not want to make her a public example. Boy, that says a lot about him. He was a man of love and compassion. He didn't like to hurt people, even though he had been hurt. He was a compassionate man. And now he has a choice to make. The Bible says that he can put her away. He can call off the engagement, just slip quietly away and put her away and just go on with his life. But about the time he's trying to figure out all these things and what am I going to do, just when he thought he had it all figured out perhaps, he goes to sleep. And the Bible says the angel appears to him in a dream. Amen. And the Bible says that the angel appeared to him in a dream while he thought on these things, verse 20. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not taking of thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You see, there was a declaration that just messed up his whole world. There was an examination that showed what kind of person he really was. But then God gives a revelation. God sends an angel to him in a dream. The Bible said that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Have you ever thought about something before you went to sleep? And I guess it's on your mind so much that you just can't get it off your mind. When you go to sleep, you dream about it. Amen. Amen. You remember about two years ago, I was sick. I missed both services on Sunday. Man, I was sick. And that afternoon, my wife, she stayed with me that afternoon. I got to feeling a little bit better. I come in there and lay down on the couch. And she was watching this Nashville Geographic thing. And they were showing about these natives somewhere over in India, Africa, somewhere Africa. It was showing how that they worshiped everything and how that they worshiped the devil, they worshiped demons, and how that some of them get demon-possessed, and how that some of them, when they got demon-possessed, they would get those demons out of them. And I mean, it was a pretty weird show. And I laid down and I watched that thing for a little while. And then I got up and I went in there and I went to bed and I went off to sleep. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. And I'm laying there, just laying there in the night, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, laying there, just dead silence. You could hear a pin drop. And all at once, my wife's laying beside me, and she says, "I got demons." I said, "What?" The next morning, we woke up, and she woke up and sitting there in the bed, and I said, "Did you sleep all right last night?" She said, "Yeah, why'd you ask?" I said, "Well, about 3 o'clock I woke up and I'm laying there by you, and all at once you say, 'I got demons.'" She said, "What'd you do?" I said, "Well, I got over you," and I said, "What's your name?" "And you said legions, because we're many." How many knows who Turtle Man is? All right, yeah. Boy, you can make a show of anything these days, can't you? The other night, she said, "Come in here and watch this. You got to." I think Scott called her. Said, "Turn this on. You got to watch this guy." I did not watch. I know over 2 minutes of it. Went to bed. Dreamed. Nightmare. Turtle Man. Snakes in the house. Call Turtle Man. See, what I'm saying is sometimes things you think about, they show up in the night. And Joseph, no doubt his mind was so heavy about this thing that while he slept, an angel appeared to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." You see, there's a revelation come from God. It was only after Joseph had worn himself out thinking and worrying that God gave him a revelation. Let me say just a few things this morning. We'll be done. I'm talking about when your dreams become nightmares. If you're a child of God, and that's happened to you, there's something that caused it to happen. There was some kind of announcement, a revelation, a discovery in your life that caused that to happen. You lost your job. Your health's bad. Could go on and on, but something caused it. But if you're a child of God, He allowed it. And if He allowed it, this test in your life, it is for an examination. Sometimes we need to examine ourselves, not so that God can see what we are, but so we can see what we are. You see, God knows what every one of us is. God does not need us to go through anything to see if we're going to make it, if we're going to react in the right way. God knows everything. If you don't believe that, just think about the life of Peter, how the Lord told him that Satan wanted him. But He said, "I've done prayed for you that your faith's not going to fail." You see, the Lord had already prophesied. He already knew how it was going to come out. If you're really a child of God, if you've got real faith, It'll stand the fire. Amen. You say, what did Joseph find out? Well, he said, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, of course, Joseph didn't have a New Testament. It wasn't even written yet. But he had Isaiah. Isaiah 7 and 14 said, the Lord himself shall give a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Joseph had probably heard that read. You know what God uses in times of trouble? The Word of God. And that's why if you don't know none, it's good to get around somebody that does. But it's a good thing to hide the Word of God in your heart. I believe he knew Isaiah 9 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. I believe the Holy Ghost probably revealed these things to him in that dream, and he remembered that God had promised that one day a virgin would conceive and would bring forth a son through a virgin. I believe God bore witness with it. I believe the Lord will bear witness with your life. When you and I go through things, I believe the Lord will, through the Spirit of God and the Word of God, He'll bear witness, He'll show you things. And you know, one of the first things he said to him, he said, thou son of David. In other words, that was like saying you're in the family. That was like saying you're in the right crowd. Thou son of David. That was like saying you're one of God's. Whenever our Christmas dreams turn into nightmares, remember if you're saved, you're one of God's. You're in the right family. You have the right father. He cares about you. He likes you. He's fond of you. He loves you. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. God says, don't forget, you're a son. Thou son of David. And then he said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. You ever notice how some real crisis, critical times in the Bible. God says, fear not. Amen. Someone said, I've never checked it out, but somebody said 365 times that it either says fear not or something real close to it. And somebody has said, well, if it's 365 times it says fear not, then that would be one for every day that God tells us we don't have to be afraid because we know the Lord. But yet we know that in this human body, there's times that we get afraid. And it's times like this when our dreams become nightmares. We get afraid. What's going to happen to us? Well, remember, you're a son. The Bible said, he said, your wife Mary, she's going to bring forth a son, and I want you to call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. He said, not only are you a son, but you're going to have a Savior. Amen. I'm glad I'm a son and I'm not going to have a Savior. I already got one. Amen. Isaiah 45, 22 says, look ye unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, because I'm God, and besides me there's none other. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, we have a Savior, and he says, Joseph, your wife's going to have a son, and that son is going to be your Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. Now, watch this. Once Joseph got the revelation, once he understands this thing is of the Lord, once his faith is confirmed, the Lord's in this. This thing's of the Lord. It doesn't matter if anybody understands it or believes it or what they think about it. The Lord has confirmed it to me. You know what he does? Once he knows it's the will of God, he just submits himself to God's will. Is he still going to be embarrassed? Well, there's going to be people talk about him. They're going to say he has an illegitimate son. There's people going to talk about him. There's people going to say, boy, that Joseph, boy, he likes a few bricks having a full load. Don't even marry a woman like that. Believe a story like that. But you see, once God, once you realize God's in this thing, you submit to the will of God. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. What does God say? What does God think? You see, God had a plan. And God told Joseph, he said, she will have a child. And this is what I want you to name that child. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. What do you do when it looks like your dreams are going to become nightmares? Number one, you find out what God's will is. And then you submit to the will of God. If you're a child of God, he's allowed this thing to happen in your life or my life. So we submit to the will of God. He lets us go through hard times, testings, and troubles to find out what's really in our heart. And then he tells us a plan. And he said, Joseph, just submit to my plan. Go take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Joseph went and took Mary, his wife. Watch this. The Bible says, look the last verse. That even after the Bible says that as the Lord had bidden him, he took unto him his wife. Look at verse 25. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. You see, he submitted to God's plan. Even though this was his wife now, God said, my son's going to be born of a virgin, so she cannot know a man until after this child is born. And so he submitted himself to the will of God. You see, what we need to do this morning in hard times and trials in our life is we need to submit ourselves to the will of God. You see, that what looked like was the worst thing that had ever happened to Joseph turned out to be the greatest blessing that could ever be bestowed upon a man. He was to be the one that would raise God's son. He was the house where God's son was to live. No greater blessing could ever be than that. Amen. So the question this morning, two things this morning. One, are you saved? If you're saved, what's going on in your life, God knows about it. Instead of fighting against it and resisting the Lord and worried about what this one thinks or that one thinks, what you need to do is just come and get out and say, Lord, I don't understand it all. I can't explain it all. Lord, I don't know why it happened. I don't know if it's me or somebody else or this or that. All I know, Lord, is my life's in a mess. My dreams have all went haywire. And the only thing I know to do is to come and submit myself at the feet of God and say, whatever your will is, Lord, I'll accept it. If you're a child of God, He'll work it for good. If you're not saved this morning, that baby that was born said he shall save their people from their sins. The wages of sin is death. Hell was prepared for people that do not get saved. Prepared for the devil and his angels and those that follow him by not getting saved. That's what hell is prepared for. If you're not saved this morning, you ought to come and submit to God's will. You see, that's God's will that you be saved. He's not willing that you perish. God's will is that every lost person would come and accept what His Son did on the cross, repent of their sins, receive Him, and be saved by the grace of God. You ought to come this morning. Submit yourself to the Lord today. Say, Lord, I don't know what's going on. Everything's a mess. But Lord, I'm just going to trust you to work it all out and bring something good out of it. Amen. Let's stand if you would, please. Our piano player's coming. Our song leader's coming today. He'll get just as I am. And while they sang, begin to play that. The Lord spoke to your heart today. And you found yourself somewhere in a message today. God wants you to come to Him today and submit yourself to Him this morning. Amen. God will guide you to submit to the will of the Lord today. Lord will guide you, help you.